Grace and peace to you. Those who have traveled and are far from your own home, those who came from nearby, those who worship alone, and those who worship here with extended community. Grace and peace to each and every one of you from our Creator and our Messiah born this night. Amen. This is the night love was born. This is the night we sing some of the most familiar melodies of all time and hear a story that many of us could probably give a pretty accurate retelling of, even if you haven't picked up a Bible in many years. This is the night that God Almighty, all-powerful, all-knowing, chose to be confined to human state. This is the night God revealed that divine nature would be humble and fragile, and that divine entrance would be announced by unlikely candidates like shepherds. God on high living among the lowly, eternal presence becoming mortal, maker of all things carried in the womb of a teenager. All these confounding characteristics are what we call the incarnation. Incarnation is the pivotal cornerstone of the Christian faith. The understanding of God's place in our lives and in our world, born out of the incarnational promise, not that God is watching us from a distance, as Bette Midler would like to have us believe, but our Lord and Maker is intimately working and redeeming us as we struggle with our own lowly mortal lives. Martin Luther said it this way: "This is the kingdom of faith in which the cross of Christ rules, throwing down the divinity we desired and recovering our humanity and despised weakness of the flesh we abandoned." The incarnation of God in the form of the Christ child was God being God. And though we are rebellious and proud, in this birthing moment, we are freed and made into the people of God. This loving act of the incarnation is the foundation of our Christian faith. Yet we don't hear about it so much during the Christmas season. Incarnation doesn't exactly fit into the catchy Christmas tunes or read so well on our holiday jewelry. During the Christmas season, which begins sometime in mid-October, we hear words of cheer and wonder, which look so great on our Christmas cards, and hope and joy, they fit on our ornaments. Now, cheer and hope and joy are all beautiful things to be lifting up and sending out into the world, but I dare to say that they do not even come close to capturing the fullness of the incarnational gift of the Christ child. But who can fit incarnational gift of the Christ child on this year's Christmas card? Is it possible that over the years, we have become desensitized to the miracle of Emmanuel? Are we too familiar with this story to gasp at the promise born as a baby? Does the incarnational gift of the Christ child have a place in our lives? Or to put it more succinctly, Jesus is born. So what? Let's tell the truth for a moment. I think most of us are ready to turn the calendar to a new year. The year of 2016 has been full of trials and tribulations, nationally, communally, personally. This week, I read an article that was laying out the most significant events of 2016, according to one journalist. And as I read my way through this list, there was a clear theme of division and hatred, prejudice, and that ever-pervasive sin of indifference. Our national election, international hacking, the Syrian humanitarian crises, and continued civil war there, increasing shootings of people of color and hate crimes, water crises in Michigan and North Dakota, and the unknowing fate of so many refugees. These were the events listed in that article. Does the incarnational gift of the Christ child really have anything to do with our bound, violent lives? Tonight, we confess our faith and worship God, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, we say yes. Yes, our Savior's birth must speak into our lives and into the lives of the lowly of our world. People of God, we are the people of God because of the Christ child. We're washed in waters of forgiveness, told to go to the manger and see the Messiah, the promised one, fulfilling God's word, and liberating all of those who are captive to sin and self. And we are invited to work in God's kingdom, which, as Luther said, is ruled over with the cross of mercy and favors the lowly, the hurting, the marginalized, the sinner. We are promised that God Almighty has made us into a new creation, a creature of redemption and hope and life eternal. People of God, that is how the incarnational gift of the Christ child touches and transforms us. And if that all sounds like churchy high holy speak, and sometimes it does to me too, then we need to pause even longer at the manger until we can see the miracle of Emmanuel, until the familiar story of Christmas becomes our story, until we can see the incarnational gift of the Christ child pushing us to serve our neighbors because they are hurting and holy too. A few nights ago, I was having dinner with some college friends, and across the table from me was a dear friend who is also a pastor. She began telling me the story of a woman from another culture in another country who has recently come to the U.S. to teach our surgeons at a nearby well-known hospital. This woman is thriving professionally, but suffering emotionally and spiritually. During her wandering in our foreign land, this woman somehow wandered into my friend's church just a few weeks ago as the Advent season was beginning. She was greeted with a smile, offered a seat in the sanctuary. She was even welcomed to share her beautiful singing voice in the choir. And after 2 weekends of this kind of treatment, she told my friend, the pastor, she had never experienced this God before. After being welcomed and accepted by church ushers and choir directors, this woman felt as though she dare not even leave the parking lot on Sunday afternoon because she feared that she would somehow fall from grace and this love and welcome would go away. You see, the narrative of her whole life was comprised of messages of not belonging, of being the wrong gender, of not being worthy enough, or clean enough, or loved enough to enter a holy space. With reverence and awe, my friend, the pastor, told her the Christmas story about Jesus, who was born in the most unclean, unworthy way, who came with love for every single person on this earth. And at dinner, my friend told me the story with tears in her eyes, because she felt the miracle of the Christmas birth that she had heard her whole life, and she was seeing it again for the first time in the eyes of a stranger. The power of grace covered both the wandering woman and the pastor as they encountered each other. Tonight we worship God because Jesus has been born, and hearing redemption in our stories and in other stories gives us that response to the so what question. The implications of this incarnational gift of the Christ child are astounding. Through God's embrace of our lot and our lives, we not only learn about God, that God is love, that God will not give up on us, we also learn something about ourselves and indeed the whole creation, that we have worth, that we and the whole creation are of precious value to our God. God came to dwell in ordinary human flesh, and in this way hallowed it and all creation, and so set the pattern for our lives. God does see the suffering of this past year and of our living. And out of love brings the incarnational gift of the Christ child to those who live in fear. So at the end of our service tonight, when you light your candle, I encourage you to not only sing and pray for yourself, but also for the homeless, the refugee, the young parents, the wars in our world, the injustices we live with. Because this Christmas story is about a homeless refugee born to an unwed teenaged mom in an occupied land, and it has something to say to us tonight. May that grace be born in us, brilliantly and fervently lighting our world. For in thy dark streets shineth the everlasting light. The hopes and fears of all our years are met in thee tonight. Amen.